Hi, I'm WTOP Entertainment Editor Jason Fraley, and we are here with Michael and Kevin Bacon of the Bacon Brothers, who are coming to the historic Birchmere in Virginia July 19th through the 21st on their Shaky Ground Tour. Hey, thanks so much for calling in, fellas. I appreciate it.
No problem.
Thanks for having us.
All right, so like we said, it's the Shaky Ground Tour. I know you guys have played the Birchmere a bunch. What are we working with set list wise? If people came to the Birchmere in past years, is this stuff from your 2018 album, you know, the self titled one, Bacon Brothers, or is there anything new you're mixing in there? You know, what can we hear on the set list?
Well, this is Michael speaking.
We have a
brand new song coming out tomorrow called Play, so that'll be in the set list and. We actually have a pretty thick backlog of stuff that we haven't necessarily worked up yet, but hopefully we can grab some time. We're going to have a rehearsal in July, and I'm hoping we can get, you know, three or four new ones by the time the tour really gets going.
Awesome. Tell me a little bit more about Play. You said it's coming out tomorrow. Well, I guess by the time this airs, it'll be freshly out. Tell me about the song Play. I can't wait to hear it. You know, what's it about?
Play is a song about the answer to the question that I get time and time again, which is, how do you stay married for so long? And it's a question that, you know, I'm kind of tired of. And sometimes when people ask you that, they say, it must be a lot of work. You guys must really have to work at it. You know, marriage, relationships, they're a lot of work. And I say, not really. It's really more about play. And so that's really what the song is. It's a kind of a funky response to that question.
So you mean the idea of, like, you know, work and play? It's you make sure you play with your partner and more than just work. Is that what you're talking about?
Exactly.
Okay.
Well, exactly.
So yeah. Kevin, what's the secret to marriage? No, I'm just kidding. I'm not going to give you that. Thanks so much for distilling that down. Yeah, just play, baby. Talk about the venue itself. So I know you guys said, you know, Michael and I were talking off the air here that you've played there a million times. But what makes it so cool? Is it the intimacy dish on the venue a little bit?
Well, there's a couple of things going on with the Birchmere. First of all, if you have a club that's been around for as long as that has, the audience almost gets trained for what kind of, you know, audience response works in that place. So what you get is a really great listening audience, but also pretty rowdy, and they kind of follow along wherever we want to go. The other thing is it has an amazing sound system, a great monitor engineer, great staff, food is good, they treat us really well. We're there for three nights, which is a real gift when you're touring, because usually you're staying everywhere in one night, but, you know, if you can stay in the same place for 3 days, it's really nice. So it's pretty much the best club I've ever played, and I'm glad they're still doing business, and we're happy to be back there.
Awesome. Yeah, it really is a special place to go watch music. Fans and DC people are really lucky. It's like an old jewel here in town. Take me back to the beginning. I know, because I know your guys' backstory a little bit, but if our listeners, you know, maybe, you know you guys from your other work, but maybe haven't been following the band a long time, like, give them the backstory of, like, you know, you guys grew up in Philly, right? I think Michael is what? How many years older? And, you know, just how, you know.
I'm 9 years older.
9 years older, yeah. Did you guys play music growing up in the Brothers in the Brotherly Love Town? Or, you know, how did this whole thing actually form as a band?
Well, it actually has a little bit of a Philly connection, because we started writing together when I was a kid, because Michael was already off on a successful music career, and he was playing in bands and playing in and around and recorded stuff and was playing in Philly. And, you know, of course, you know, you look up to your older brother, so I started writing songs in my head and having lyrics, and I would bring them to him, and he would kind of help me form them into songs. So we started demoing some of those, and we probably had written about 10 songs together over the years. And in the 90s, a friend of ours heard the demo. We had both long since left Philly. I mean, you know, both of us left Philly in the 70s, but in the early 90s, our friend heard the demo and said, why don't you come down to Philly and do a Bacon Brothers show, quote unquote. And so basically, we became the Bacon Brothers. Bacon Brothers wasn't really our idea. It was our friend Harry's idea. And we played the one show down in Philly. And then somebody kind of called up and said, hey, would you play another one? And that's just kept rolling on from there.
Awesome. How do you guys split the load on stage? I know you guys can both sing, you can both strum, but what do you think each of you brings? You know, what does Michael, actually answer it about each other. That's probably the best way. So let's ask Michael, what does Kevin bring to the live stage persona? And then follow it up. Kevin, I want you to say what you think Michael is, you know, what's his element there?
Well, the most important thing is he's a wonderful songwriter and a great singer and a great partner. And, you know, songwriting is a very strange thing because it's self-revelatory, and it's always interesting when we'll go through something on the road, you know, some experience of some kind, and a couple of weeks later, all of a sudden, I'll hear Kevin singing a song and say, oh, yeah, I was there when that happened. So that's pretty neat. The other thing that's nice is Kevin's really a front man. He's a natural-born front man. I'm really not. To me, playing music on stage is more of a learned experience. So I think what you do is you get brothers who are really, you know, who are brothers and close, but really very different. And I think people like the idea that we're not kind of clone, we're not Milli Vanilli. We're, you know, Kevin kind of does his thing and I do mine. And I think that we collaborate with each other on stage in a really good way. Plus, we have a wonderful band, and you know, they can kind of go wherever we want them to go.
Kevin, do you have a take on, you know, what you each, you know, bring to it?
Yeah, well, you know, Michael is again a great songwriter, you know, and a fantastic singer. He's the guy on stage that sings in tune, which is always helpful. And he has a really, really, really vast kind of musical knowledge. You know, he can compose, he can write, and he has an extremely good understanding of all kinds of, you know, harmony and counterpoint and all these things that are way, you know, beyond my skill set. And so when you see the show, you know, as he said, I'm a little bit more of a sort of front man kind of show off. And then the real, you know, the musicianship comes from him and the rest of the players in the band. And Mike's going back and forth between acoustic guitar and different kind of, you know, finger picking styles, and then electric guitar and cello and ukulele. And so it's, you know, I think that as is the case with, you know, any kind of band where you have two different people, there's a lot of people that will sort of, you know, relate to him and his sensibility more, and some people that will, you know, relate to my sensibility more. So you kind of, it's kind of the best of both worlds.
And just now, in both of your answers, you both mentioned that, you know, the other brother, you said they were great songwriters. You've done multiple albums with so many songs. Michael, what is your favorite song that you guys have written?
Well, I would have to say it's this song we wrote a long time ago, maybe even before we put the band together, called Only a Good Woman. And a lot of times in a lot of the bands that I've been with in my career, there's, you can play a gig and it's not going so well, but if you have that one song that people really like, you can kind of resurrect your set from the doom. And this song is called Only Good Woman, and we wrote it together, and it has about a zillion words, and it's really funny, and it's really true, and we believe it. And, you know, it's still in the set, not every night, but, you know, when we really want people to have a good time, we'll stick that out there. It's a great song.
Kevin, do you agree that that's your best, or is there another, you know, hidden gem or something that you're like, no, we must have on the set every night?
And we don't play Only a Good Woman every night, but not really. Mm-mm. No, I mean, there's things that are fun for different sorts of reasons, you know. I mean, we have this thing that we were playing a song of Mike's called 36 Cents, and we've been playing it for a long time, and then we decided to try to play it in sort of in an unplugged kind of way. Mm-hmm. And then somebody came up with this it's hard to explain, but it's kind of like a little additional ending to the song. And all of a sudden, the song that we've been playing for, you know, years became super fun to play again. So, you know, I always look forward to that one just because it's, you know, people would really enjoy it.
Yeah, what happens is there's an instrumental part, which is pretty technically difficult. And then after the song ends, we sort of have a false ending, and then we go into the lick again, but twice as fast. And it's just barely, I'm barely able to keep up with it. And it's, you know, it's a real challenge every night to try to chase that tempo of that crazy lick.
Spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert.
Right.
Do either of you guys have a turn of phrase, a lyric, whether it's a, you know, an irregular rhyme or a perfect rhyme, whatever, that, you know, that you're most, that you slap the desk and you're like, damn, that I'm damn proud of that one.
Oh, a lyric that we've written?
Yeah, lyrically, yeah. Is there something that you want us to, like, as we're leaving the Birchmere, we're like, damn, that's a clever turn of phrase right there.
I'll have one. Mine's called Don't Leave the Lava Lamp On For Me. And you can imagine what that's about. I'm not a fan of the 60s, so that's what that song's about.
Gotcha. When you guys were first forming and even through the years, is there any other, you know, bands in a certain genre that you guys like have always like, you know, let's pattern our own stage after this, or let's pattern our sound after that? You know, what were sort of your idols growing up in terms of music?
You know, our first record was called Faro Soco, which is folk rock soul country, and just kind of like a term that we came up with. And I think that it was kind of a joke because we have had so many different kinds of influences, you know, and there's two of us and there's an age difference. And so, you know, Mike's different influences are different than my influences. And then it's so many years. And then you add to that all the players in the band and the different way stuff that they've been kind of, you know, kinds of music that they've played. So we're really kind of like all over the map. But I guess if we had to pick one band, we would say the band, only because the band, you know, had a similar kind of instrumentational thing, and mostly did, you know, kind of organic sounds with B3 organ, sometimes used, you know, some horns, and went between electric guitars and acoustic guitars, and always had great grooves and you know, an incredible drummer, and you know what I mean, that kind of stuff is the type of thing that we really aspire to.
Take a load off Fanny, man. All right, well, you guys have to redub Easy Rider with your guys, you know, songs on there, and no one will know the difference. All right, well, speaking of movies, Kevin has a lot of roles, but a lot of people may not know Michael. You won an Emmy for the score for TV's Kennedys. Take me into how awesome it was. Well, not only to be recognized, I know awards are just, you know, throwaway things sometimes, and artists don't really care about them so much, but just, you know, to be recognized and you know, what you were going for in writing that score. That's pretty awesome, man.
Well, it was, first of all, the film itself did really, the TV show did really well, which sort of drags a lot of the contributors along with it. But it was 4 hours, and a lot of the work I did was these long-form documentaries where there might be 30 pieces of music per hour. So if you multiply that by four, well over 100 cues that have to be written and approved and produced and edited and all that kind of stuff. As far as the award goes, it's nice because it immediately defines me as having won something, but I have to say at the same time that it doesn't really get you any work, and I, you know, I'm proud of having it, but to me that was in the past, and I'm ready for my next one.
Right, exactly. Yeah, I know the awards really don't really matter anything. So I've promised myself I'd limit myself to one movie question for you, Kevin. Just to wrap it up here so my listeners don't kill me. But do you have a role, not even talking awards here, because I know you won the Globe for Taking Chance, but do you have a role you are most proud of all the genres? Do you have a personal role where you look back on and say, I could, you know, I did my best work there?
You know, not really. I have to say, I'm not spending a lot of time in the rearview mirror. You know, I really, I try to I haven't gotten to the point in my life where I'm ready to just sort of look back, you know. I'm looking down the road and I'm hoping that the best part is in front of me.
I love it. But there's nothing for a cool radio soundbite that you had at least a good on set time doing or anything like that.
Well, you know, I mean, I had a great time making the movie Diner. We were young guys and down in Baltimore having a lot of fun, and I had a great time making Mystic River. Those are both really, really fun experiences. You know, it's strange because, you know, there's the making of it, and then there's the actual film itself, you know, and those are two different things, the memory of it and the actual what actually ended up on the screen. And sometimes you can have a great time and make a lousy movie, and sometimes you can have a lousy time and make a great movie. You never know.
Right. Well, thanks for all the movie memories and also the music memories now, everybody. I know we had another person on the line here, so we'll cut you loose. But thanks so much again, guys. Again, it's Bacon Brothers, July 19th through the 21st at the Birchmere. Thanks.
Thanks, Dave.
Thanks.